Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the big tech stories that have gone on this week, and we've got a full and bursting panel. We've actually got Green News due to come in, and if he does come in, he's going to go here, where the big logo is. But we haven't had such a full panel in ages. Muller, well done, mate.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there, yeah. Great team, starting us off, top left, Campar, how you doing?
Good, mate, good, mate. Sorry I've had to ditch on a couple of shows recently.
No, have you got a note?
I'll see if my mum's written it. I've not had a chance to go see my mum to pick the bloody nail up, in fairness.
Oh, okay, we'll let you off then. What you been up to? I've seen you running stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, squeezing running whenever I can on a morning or lunchtime recently, more so than anything, apart from a bit of a bog fest of an off the road run last week, which was fun. Other than that, just work. Work is busy.
Excellent. Good man. Good to have you back. Enjoy it.
Good stuff.
With competition for the fastest fingers in the West, Jeffrey's been doing rather well the last few weeks. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing well. And I have to give you a Boulder weather update since this morning.
Has it snowed? Or did the wind start?
Both.
Wow. Yeah.
It's, and it's funny because I got an alert on my Apple Watch from Dark Sky saying it's about to start snowing. And I look out the window and it's sunny, and a minute later it's snowing, and then it rained for a few minutes, and it looked like winter outside, and then the wind picked up and blew everything away, and the sun came out. Now it's just like really windy, and you'd have no idea that it snowed. But yes, it has snowed since we saw each other last.
And important things, because we did this in the Mac Show and we've got to do it here. You have given us a lovely gift to all our BTN listeners. Text Expander has a gift for all BTN listeners that if you are if you want to download Text Expander and use it, there is an offer code. So BTN 2020 gets you 20% off Text Expander. So there you go. How's that? Simple as.
Beautiful.
And you cannot beat a good bit of snippets. And also, as well, don't forget, you got Jeffrey as a personal trainer. So he's got two free webinars coming up in the next week, and he'll show you whether you're advanced or whether you're a beginner. He'll show you how to use it properly. So you can't do better than that.
If we do it wrong, does he make us go on the ground and do 10 or something?
He'll give you lines, mate. We've already primed him on that.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent.
Drop him. Give me 10.
Well, Jeffrey would say drop him, yes.
That's the first step towards... Well, anyhow, that's the first step.
Moving on.
Next
to Jeffrey, Patrice, how you doing, mate?
Doing good. It's been a long week. I'm tired, but I'm happy to be here.
Made the gaffe earlier on in the Mac Show of saying he's still not got any furniture. He said, no, it's still stuck in storage. So he hasn't even got a lamp to illuminate his face.
I haven't even gotten a date when they will like deliver it here. I mean, I heard it's gone through customs, but that was the last thing I heard about it.
Oh, that means some of it's been taken out then. You might not get all of it.
Bunch of crap cocaine.
Nah, it's like, I hope in the next like week or two. Like, I'm literally waiting for the phone call.
Excellent, mate. Good. I hope it comes soon.
Me too.
You're actually sat on the floor, I guess, aren't you?
No, I got the little furniture I have. Like, I got a table and a chair and a mattress.
Brilliant. No, sorry, mate. Next to him, Atlee, what the hell's happened to you, mate? Your glasses still haven't unsteamed, and you've built a partition wall in your massive room.
Yes, I did. That's actually the only major wall that's going into the office, and it's to separate the server room away from the rest of the office.
Right, okay. So, nice.
Yeah, so inside there will be a microclimate that will be kept. It'll also be a clean room that will be kept to keep the servers in perfect running condition.
To make your dirty bombs?
Nope.
What the hell is that?
Are you gonna make satellites? One of the two?
Nope.
I am ashamed to be your phone.
I am ashamed to be your phone. Well, that's apt. So you're not starting Canada's spaceport and firing your dead bodies in space that you've...
No.
Okay. It's silly, really, I suppose. Welcome here, mate. And last but by no means least, it's Muller.
Hello.
Hello, mate. With a fine backdrop behind you, with batteries charging, a fish tank partially done, and then a load of crap from left over from dinner.
I need a green screen.
No, you don't.
Okay.
I'm not putting anything else in this office. There's enough shit in it as it is.
Well, every time I walk in, as I said earlier, there's something else wooden.
Well, I had to buy a new printer this week, so that didn't help. What have you been up to then, mate? Is that your story that you just shoved in the chat room, Ali?
Yeah, accidentally.
Oh,
sorry.
God,
that's cheating. No, I mean, right.
That's my story you've nicked.
No, that's cheating.
I'll tell you, you'd nick me story.
Cheating. Can't stand dirty, rotten cheats.
Cheat.
Well done on the bookings, Muller. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's actually here. No one's dropped out. We've had a rare old day, actually.
Yeah. Well, we've got some newer possible ones coming back. So,
yeah.
Well, new old ones. So. You never know.
Talking of new old ones coming back, we've got Wrighty's been writing blogs for us. He's hanging around the network again, which is lovely. So get yourself over to the blog on BritishTechNetwork.com and like and subscribe and all that kind of stuff, and send him felicitations, because he'll be back around. Hopefully he'll be back filling one of these spaces as well in a few weeks. So that'll be lovely to see him.
Yes, it will.
The Week in Tech. Who's got the first story then? Who's got the fast fingers? And it might as well. I should have just guessed. Bloody Campion in it.
I think we should have all dropped in at least story.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious. Yeah, just a bit of piss off the dirty scoundrel that he is. Right, so Camp's talk us through it. Facebook's reportedly shelving plans.
Yeah, so a lot of the news articles this week are on a lot of the news companies this week are reporting that it looks like that Facebook are going to shelve the plan. So what is it? It's probably going back to 2018, I think it was, when the former creators of WhatsApp heavily got involved with a dispute with Zuckerberg and co. about the plans after Facebook took over WhatsApp in terms of them posting ads in WhatsApp. Let's be honest, that's exactly what Facebook we're always going to do.
Yeah.
Now it looks like those shelves have been planned. I think there's various different reasons floating around for why they may be wanting to do this. So it'd be good to get some of the opinions from the panel tonight. I think one of the main opinions I've read in a number of stories is very much because just before they left, I think it's was it Jan Koum and Brian Acton that. They changed the WhatsApp terms and conditions, and in there it was around not using WhatsApp to actively promote ads. So whilst I think Zuckerberg, Facebook would have to navigate through that, I think that could be a bit of a media storm to get through. But I'm not 100% sure where WhatsApp may go now in terms of. Obviously, one unified messaging system is on pretty much everybody's phones across the world. How they're absolutely going to monetize this in future. Obviously, it started off with a 99 cents a year.
And they paid $22 billion for it.
Yeah, then they made it free. You know, are they going to monetize it in a way of make businesses try and get into... business to customer, business to business communication, and use the algorithms that they've developed to keep messages secret. Are they going to go in a slightly different way? I think it'd be really interesting to see how Facebook take WhatsApp and where they put it over the next year or two.
Well, they've got a billion users, so that's
there's some money to be had there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is the point, isn't it? Is how do you tap into something that really is basically an instant messaging service, a one-line thing, unless you just put a little banner ad as a strip at the bottom of the interface, which I can't say I'd mind that. That wouldn't be horrific. But I certainly don't want messages popping up, and I certainly don't want messages from people that are adverts that I perceive as being real messages. And that's a massive issue, because that's what
Twitter I could see. If they're analysing the conversations that you're having, you know, that I'm going looking for a new TV this week, and then suddenly TV ads... you know, start jumping in the middle of your feed. I think that's just going to pee everybody off.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand Facebook, like in the sense that they are trying to monetize it. I mean, WhatsApp is not free. I mean, we're not paying for it, but like someone has to pay for the servers and like the development and everything. It's probably not crazy expensive. I mean, it's a message service, But it still costs money. Like, it's not free.
What did... I can't remember. What did Facebook pay for WhatsApp? Anybody remember?
22 billion.
$22 billion.
Wow.
So there's some Facebook shareholders who are going to want to see some money back from that.
It's going to take a long time to make that back.
Well, especially if you're not charging anything, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's unified cross-platform. Do you think there's a scenario here where Facebook is actually tapping into businesses and say, right, you know, we will charge you to use this, you know, any network you've got, you know, everybody in the world has got WhatsApp. I think unless you're in China.
Like turn this into a Slack competitor?
Do you know, I only started using WhatsApp about a year and a half ago.
Right. What? How much of it does it make up of your messaging now?
90%.
Yeah. Me too.
If I want to send a video.
And I would pay for it.
If I want to send video or an image to someone, just one-offs, I'll send those dead easy. Yeah. It's really good.
And if they turned around and they said to me, right, this is now a $5 a month subscription, I'd pay it. Because I'm too ingrained now to not. Everybody I know uses it.
Yeah, but they wouldn't stop also selling all your data and all the information from it too. They wouldn't anything else that they're doing with it. They would just take the extra $5 and say, this is what we're going to do for our shareholders next year.
Yeah.
But I think for me, if that's in the terms and conditions, if I know how it's going to be used and it is, and I'm not going to see ads in the middle of all my conversations, I think I could take that. Because like you said, they're already skimming the data.
Yeah, so I've got some sympathy there that yes, they bought it, and yes, it was going to be an incredibly popular app. So they've dived in without thinking, which is where I'm going to be harsh on them. But you know, you can't take anything for nothing and not expect something to be in. There's got to be a payoff for a free service. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have got sympathy with Facebook in this, which I know sounds horrific, but I really have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Facebook is not a like Apple or Google, like a manufacturer where like they make money some other way. Like Facebook is all content, all web service. So somehow they have to make some money.
Yeah, it'd be great if there was an integration into Facebook and they could make the money on the Facebook platform, but then there would be a tie-in with I don't know how that would work, but so that your interface wasn't sullied, but they could tie your WhatsApp account to your Facebook profile, and then so if you did type something about TVs, you know, you get TV or running, you get a running advert and that kind of stuff. I wouldn't begrudge them that. I know it would be intrusive, but and the other things as well with the end-to-end encryption, no one sees it.
Mm-hmm. You just read my mind. The end-to-end encryption, unless they're going to break that,
no one sees anything.
Right, yeah. Which is one of the biggest selling point for many people for WhatsApp. It's encrypted, it's secure, it's safe. No one else gets to see your conversation.
I mean, there would probably be a way how to do it without breaking the encryption. I mean,
that'd have to be an answer.
Something where it's like they have like whatever they have a bunch of keywords.
Isn't that how Facebook Messenger works? Isn't Facebook Messenger, that's end-to-end encrypted, isn't it? But
no,
I'm sure that, is it not?
Facebook Messenger is a dog, I hate it. I absolutely loathe it, and I refuse to put anything in it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, as I said, like, I mean, they could have, like, I don't know, like a database of keywords that, like, people bought, or, like, that advertisers bought, and they put it on the device and analyze your messages on device and then just like fetch the ad that fits. That would work. I mean, I think there is a way to do that.
Well, there's a way. There's sort of, you're talking about basically doing a brute force on it to figure out what people are saying. And of course, there's a way to brute force, and they'd have the mechanics to do it. But I think originally the stories that I'd heard about Facebook buying WhatsApp was the fact that they were planning on adding that security to all their messenger apps and bringing all of the messenger apps sort of in line together so that they would, you know, all you have the same high level of security and, you know, basically so that they could try and take over the whole messaging space so that if they didn't hit you through Facebook Messenger, by making it ultra secure. They'd hit you with WhatsApp or any of the other messaging systems they also own. But I don't know whether they've changed their angle on that, because in that alone, WhatsApp, I thought, would have given them the value they paid for it.
Point from Deep,
sort of corner that market.
Point from Deep Pan in the chat room: if WhatsApp changed the terms and switched off end-to-end encryption, how many people would even notice or care? Great point. Because most people, if I went in the high street and said, "Right, can you explain end-to-end encryption to me?" and I'm not talking about like the technics of it, because I couldn't either, but just to understand.
The elevator pitch for it.
No, just to understand there's a basic level of secrecy from one sender to a receiver, people would not be able, 98% of people would not respond to that.
And realistically, if they were to, if they would probably just announce that we're not going to use end-to-end encryption, we're going to use this kind of encryption, which will still keep your messages relatively safe. And that's all they'd have to say, and people would be like, meh, okay. Because, people are lazy. And who's going to, are you going to go and say, you know what, now I'm going to tell my 45 people that I chat to on WhatsApp that I have to, now we all have to switch over to another thing. We tried to change messaging groups with a channel that I talked to that's across Canada, probably about 15 people. And it was an absolute disaster trying to get them to just try three different messaging services to see which one we liked. Some people are on which channel they're on now.
I think there's an interesting point, and it's actually just come out in the chat room here, that you cure in platforms, you curate your message based on the publicity of the platform. So I'm careful what I say on Twitter far more than I'm careful what I say on the pre-show here, far more than I'm careful with what I say in the Slack room. And Muller and Crikey Trousers regularly go at each other in the Slack room, and it gets nasty sometimes, and I end up refereeing it. And they've started it in the chat room tonight, and I've just had to remind them, hang on, the chat room is not the Slack room. This is not the place to do that. I know that it's fun and banter, and most of us do, and some of the put-downs and the digs are really quite funny. But out of context of the Slack room, that is an entirely different conversation, which could be particularly offensive to people who are in the chat room.
And if Joe Biden cancels that, is it Article 230, then even more trouble coming.
Yeah, and your logins and that kind of stuff that you've got to give over, yes. It's a completely different kettle of fish. So I think there's a, if you said, right, okay, we'll degrade the WhatsApp system. Now I'm not sending a message to Jeff. I'm sending a message that someone's going to take the information off, and I don't know where they're going to post that and say, well, you said this to Jeff. And I'm not talking about the fact that the government are going to use it and conspiracy theory and that stuff. Just the fact that once that information's out there that I said this, it's used out of context. I had someone do it to me on Twitter. There was a bit of a dispute going over cyclists, and I'm a cyclist regularly, and I know that as much as I am, I don't look after my health and safety particularly well on the rules of the road. I'll get on the pavement. I'll go down a wrong way street the wrong way perhaps, and there's a lot of cyclists that run red lights. And I had a conversation with a guy where I put three things in three tweets, and I didn't do the one of two, one of three, two of three, three of three. And the bloke retweeted the middle one because it said what he wanted to say and make me look bad. And I was just like, how dare you retweet me out of context? But it was like, done. Damage is done then. You said that. It's not listed in a tweet of three tweets. Therefore, you're a prejudiced person. No, I'm not. But yes, I am, because I didn't put it in that context of one. And you've got to be so careful then. And WhatsApp's got that, you know, I'm insulated from that crap with WhatsApp, mm-hmm. which I won't be.
Well, you potentially won't be. It'll also depend on how long it takes society to start using it differently.
Yeah. Right? Crikey's just blamed it on Muller. It's him, sir.
It also depends on how long it actually takes anybody to notice that it has changed. Honestly,
I think they can't change it without declaring it. And once they declare it, then the tech press will rip them to shreds.
I think that's the key power. It'll get to the end user. Yeah. The minute you put it in terms and conditions, somebody, Verge or somebody will report on it, and then it'll leak. And then it'll be on ITV News before you can.
There is an intern at Wired or The Verge. Their only job is to go through EULAs.
So what about the fact that maybe they'll try to do it and the EU won't let them?
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility as well, as.
Trouble is, if they do that, I know there are government groups, aren't there, and there are all sorts of groups, but government ministers are in different groups because they say so on question time. So they're depending on the security.
There's an awful lot of agencies use it.
Exactly. They're all going to go, oh, we better not use this anymore, so people will just fall away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And where does it sit with the governmental press at the moment to decrypt everything and make everything available to government oversight?
Yep.
Yeah. Massive comment. Who picked this story? Jesus Christ.
Camps. Sorry.
I was trying to remind you, it wasn't me.
I was going to get ready to move on a minute ago, and I've just realised now it's an absolute can of bloody worms.
No, it is. It's a huge can of worms when you look at the possibilities, all the different things that it does, and it's kind of interesting when you look at WhatsApp wasn't even a thing, 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. And now in five years, it's become something that's so ingrained that we're sitting here looking at the multitude of levels of issues that this one service changing could cause.
Well, to be fair, WhatsApp didn't invent messaging. It just invented, it's the interface that is the value, isn't it? And the ubiquity of it.
It's a user story. It's the way that they handle the whole thing.
It's the fact that it's data driven rather than text message, that it's unified across cross platform. You put those two things together, then you've got people sat on iPads. You've got people with data tethered. Free Wi-Fi makes it so popular. It's free.
It overcomes the Apple popular. Messages problem.
Yeah.
Mm. What, the international messages issue? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's not even like, there have been like a million of those services. It was just the one that was there at the right place and right time. Like there have been a lot of them.
Yeah, there have been. Mm. There's still a few of them that are way more successful than WhatsApp. They're just, we don't use them.
Batwing just put down, WhatsApp just took advantage of how slow BlackBerry were at making BBM a cross-platform device. True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the conversations about BBM going cross-platform, and now it never happened, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, talk us through your story. You've picked on Sonos Tile and PopSocket.
I did not.
That was my story, I think.
Oh, sorry, Patrice. Go ahead then, mate. You were next in the dock.
Yeah, so I think we talked about... Did we talk about Sonos last time? I can't remember. But basically, Sonos already filed a lawsuit against Google, claiming that that Google stole their IP. They basically reverse-engineered their speakers. And now Sonos, Tile, and Basecamp, and PopSockets are... part of, or actually, I think even today, in an antitrust subcommittee of the House Judiciary Committee in the U.S., and they're testifying there today, because they're claiming that the big companies, so Apple, Amazon, like all the big Silicon Valley companies, Facebook definitely. They're pressuring them and basically taking they're saying it's a shakedown, basically, that they can't really operate because the big companies are actively working against them, which obviously everybody else is saying is not true. But they're testifying today, and I think there's something to it. I mean, if you see how the big companies operate, like Google, like creating a new product, like creating speakers after Sonos, and literally just, I mean, kind of ripping off what Sonos has been doing and being successful simply because it's a big company. They have a built-in like market already. I think there could be something to this.
I'm curious to see if maybe something that comes out of this is the fact that Google itself is using its own SEO or its own abilities to manage the results of a search to help fire its own products, which I guarantee you governments were going to livid about if it comes out that that's true.
And I could absolutely see the case in that point. Surely the first point is competition.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Amazon done the same thing. I think there was a story last year maybe. About Amazon looking at successful products and then creating their own versions of it and having the, what was it, Amazon recommended or whatever it's called, label on it?
Well, it's well documented that Amazon has literally found successful products on their lines, started creating those products, selling them at under cost until they drive their competition to their knees and then putting them at normal cost. And the fact that they can manage their search results and everything to help fire that with the Amazon recommended is definitely something that governments have noticed. But Google itself is even worse because Google is a general search engine that's used by almost everybody and has an awful lot more reach than even Amazon does.
Yeah, I mean, Google is the search company or like the service company probably.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everybody, almost everybody's using Gmail. Everybody's using Google. Oh, yeah, probably everybody's using Google. Like the Google search.
In some capacity or another. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if you don't think you're using Google, you could be using some other service that actually just uses a Google search engine. API. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I'm going to ask a question about whether the big companies are using their size and position or whether those big companies are just acting and... because of their size, they're acting more efficiently. They're acting with more because they've got systems set up to do it. They've got more engineers to throw at it.
And if that's the case, that is fair game. That's fair play. But what I'm talking about is the fact that Google is actually forcing the searches for speakers and things like that to show their products every single time they show anybody else's.
Yeah, no, that's an issue.
And that's an unfair.
But if you're talking about development of products, you say they reverse engineered their products. That's really hard to prove. That's massively hard to prove. But if you're saying, well, you know, I'm sorry, but we got some audio engineers. And you look at Apple, oh, we've got this issue. You work over there. You're really good. Come and work for us. And we'll give you billions. Yeah, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. So there's $1 million salary straight away to get an engineer from Bose or Sonos to come and work for them. And there's a certain bit of me looks at Sonos and goes, well, you know, Bose came up with the ultra quality, low, tiny speaker. Don't tell me you didn't look at it before you started making your own. I don't believe that for a second. If that's reverse engineering, then you're guilty as well.
Don't think that to do reverse engineering though. Didn't Kyle put a news story on his little place where they apparently Sonos and Google were all cooperating, and then when they cut ties, they had copies of all of Sonos's. Based on their technology.
What Sonos is saying is they basically looked at the Google speakers and like looked at what like the communication that's happening, and certain issues were solved exactly the same way as Sonos did it.
Wasn't it the room to room stuff?
It's simply suspicious that it's exactly the same. Like, it's the same solution that Sonos came up with.
I am speaking from experience here that in the stuff that me and Anders have done with the Sentry product and the Azimuth products. And there is a certain element of, if you're a big firm, you can just suddenly take five people off what they're currently doing and throw them onto it. And you look at the amount of code that Anders has written in the last 2 years. I think the last time we were on build 916 of the OS for the cameras. So that's a serious number of iterations of the variant of the code if we're at main code 9 and then subcode 15. You know, there is an awful lot of work gone into it and there's an awful lot of time been spent from me making the boxes, me peddling and selling it, Anders doing the coding for it. And we're only two people doing it part-time. If you've got 200 engineers that you can say, right, stop what you're doing on a Monday. By the end of next Friday, I want this thing to be working. They can physically do that. And there's nothing illegal in that process as well.
So I will say from an experience in coding and managing coding teams, it is not simply a matter of throw more people at the problem, you'll solve it. You will actually hit a point very quickly where you will hit the number of people that are maximum able to create positive dividends, and then you hit diminishing returns, you'll actually go farther backwards. So there is some of that. I think one of the big practices that I think needs to be stopped, and I know of this in the tech industry, where when you leave a certain company, depending on your position and your level of knowledge of how their core competence is built, you usually have a non-compete. and you're not allowed to compete within a certain number of years. You're not allowed to work for another company that does whatever, or else you face huge fines and stiff penalties.
Yep.
And these companies will come in and go, don't worry about that. We'll pay you $1 million. We'll pay all your fines. We'll pay everything else. You just give us everything that we're doing. That's got to stop, because that's for all intents and purposes, 20, 30 years ago, that was corporate espionage. And now for some reason, it's somewhat pseudo accepted practice. Like it just doesn't fly.
Yeah, I don't know about the contracts in Silicon Valley, but like, I mean, I signed a non-compete, and mine actually says if someone else pays the fine, I still have to pay it. So I have basically
paid double. But they will just pay you more to cover the cost of the fine. Like like say you're hired by company XYZ startup, and then Google comes in and goes, well, we'll pay you $1 million for this startup. Yeah. Was paying
we'll give you a sign-on fee.
$130,000, and we will pay you $2 million signing fee to cover whatever fines or anything you're going to get cost.
So let's just do it.
And that is just wrong.
Let's be clear about terminology. Number one, it's not a fine. It's a civil agreement to compensate for losses. Yeah. So it's not a fine. And the second thing is you cannot steal information. You can only steal the disk that it's on. If the information is given, providing you haven't broken and entered and you haven't stolen physical media that the disk is on, there's no such thing as a stealing of information in that sense, in the truest obligations of the law.
Okay, it is an incredibly bad and gray area. If I built you a super secure system for your home, and then I walk off your property and someone goes, do you know the weakness of that property? I'm like, yeah, this is exactly how I would break in if I were to do it. Here's the information.
That's a different thing. That is a conspiracy.
It's the exact same thing.
That is a conspiracy to commit a crime. It is an entirely different thing.
Now, what would make it the same is if you left the property after designing a completely custom security system for you, and someone walks up to you and says, I will pay you $1 million to tell me exactly how you made that system, because I'm going to go make it too.
That would be legal.
That would be the same thing.
And that's perfectly legal. If you're going to start throwing analogies around, you've got to make sure that the analogy correct.
Yeah, bad analogy. I will give you that. It's a bad analogy. All I'm saying is that if I helped build a core competency for something, let's put it this way. I helped work on the Interact system a number of years ago. If I gave anybody the code or walked them through how I built my piece of it, I would simply go to jail. But
for what?
Now, because
what are you going to jail for, Atlee?
What? For breach of contract.
You can't go to jail for breach of contract because it's a civil agreement. A contract is agreed between two parties, and the compensation of those two parties is a financial sum. You can't go to prison for that.
Theft of intellectual property?
No, make your mind up what you want to talk about. If you're talking
I'm just saying, would that not be theft of intellectual property?
No, because you had an agreement which was a civilly binding agreement. Therefore, the person has to sue you, through court, has to go through all the proofs as a plaintiff, and then gets compensated for the losses that you've incurred on their behalf. Or, if it's copyright, can then claim an amount which is non-descripted to the amount of loss. But you cannot go to prison for breaching a contract.
You can't, okay.
No, you can't. You absolutely can't. The world over, you can't. A contract is a contract between two parties. It's not a contract with your state.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember the contract, because I remember that at one point it horrified me, the thought of anybody getting the information.
Which is a different thing entirely from what you're talking about. But a civil contract is a civil contract.
Is it secret sector or anything like that?
What was that?
I think Atlee just realized he has a lot of information he can sell.
If it's official secrets the foreign equivalent.
But that's not a contract. That's a different thing. The Official Secrets Act and signing the Official Secret Act is not a contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The thing that I signed said that I could not divulge the information under penalty of fine and or jail. So
that's a bullshit. That's an NDA, and it's a bullshit NDA, because you can't get in prison for breaching an NDA unless it's a state-issued NDA, as in the Official Secrets Act.
I'm pretty sure most of my secrets are long since given out.
Even the stuff, I guarantee the code that I worked on.
Mate, nearly every, I would bet, Muller, that every secret that you've got, there's a YouTube video on.
I hope not.
And he's probably shared most of them in the chat room.
Yeah. In GIF form.
No.
So then, from your point of view, there's no problem with helping someone build a piece of technology or creating a piece of technology and then going across the street and selling it to someone else.
Of course there is. There's plenty of issues with that. If I signed an agreement that said I wasn't going to do that and that the intellectual property was owned by me and it was patented by me and you went and sold it, you're in deep shit. But you're in deep financial shit. You're not going to go to prison for it. No one's going to be creating a larger bumhole for you. It's just a civil dispute where you get more money.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's all. Story again. Christ, 40 minutes in. Only done two. Oh, I'm going to ring Sharon and tell her I'm going to be late. Right now it's Jeffrey's turn. Good story, though. Good story. Patrice.
I'm thinking my story will not be controversial, but the way this evening's gone, who knows?
Oh, I think this has got an hour written all over it, mate.
Okay. So there's a company called Moho Vision, and they've developed these contact lenses that ultimately will be like AR glasses that you wear, but they also will do other things like if you have macular degeneration, they will enhance your vision and they will give you night vision so you can go into dark rooms and not have to turn on lights. And where it stands right now, they have the contact lens so that it's working for like night vision and the AR features. And in-house, they've actually been wearing the contact lenses themselves and testing them for media that gets to see these. They have them in this little mounted thing. So you hold it up to your eye and look through. And I'm sure there's like liability issues with just letting anyone put these contact lenses in right now. But the technology as it stands looks very promising. And the idea of having a way to do AR where it's actually useful information and not have to put on glasses to do that, to me seems pretty compelling. And what it doesn't do, or at least they're not projecting this yet, it doesn't correct your vision. So like someone like me that wears glasses, I could put the contacts in and use them for other features, but I'd still have to wear glasses.
Yeah, I mean, my big problem is I got varifocals because me long vision's not too bad, but me short vision's pretty crap. But try and get a lens to deal with both of that. Well, shame we haven't got bloody Mark up here, isn't it? Mark from Zeiss would have talked us through it all. God bless whoever that was.
This has got to be vaporware. Where's the battery going to go?
That's a good point.
Well,
up your ass, mate.
So the technology, from what I've read, they're working on a way for it to have, and I know this is not the right terminology, but it's what I've got, like a biological battery or an organic battery. So it's actually drawing power from you.
I would say if it drew power from the pH level in your eye, that would be freaking amazing, like a lemon battery thing.
And if that's how they get the power to it, then great. Where do they put the SIM card?
Oh,
to download the data.
Now you just be a killjoy.
And also, what happens if whatever stores the power maybe leaks or something, and it leaks in your eye?
Well, of course, this is all stuff that they need to address. And the people that they have on staff have a lot of history in the contact lens space Anyhow, so yeah, I mean, that's a totally valid question. You don't want to put something in your eye that has a power source that could leak back out in your eye and shock you or blind you. So yeah, these are things they're working on, and where it is today, this is not a product that you're going to be able to go and buy next year, because right now it relies on having it, you know, like a smartphone or some other computer device that's linked up to the contacts to handle the heavy computing. But you know, they're working on the technology to miniaturize it to the point where it is all completely self-contained, and you pop the contact lenses in, and now you have night vision.
That's great.
You
don't have image
generation. No,
Deep Pan's put kinetic battery, so from eye movement it charges it. That's good. Every time you blink, it gets a charge.
And considering how much we blink involuntarily,
yeah,
that would be quite a power source.
This thing will make you blink an awful lot when it blinks or heats up.
Yeah, it's about 4 mil thick.
I think this falls under the
pull your eyelids out.
Things I would wait 15 years after they've been released to try to see what the long term effect is.
While you would be cautious, rightly so, there are a lot of people that if this was an option for them today, just for the vision improvement features alone, they wouldn't even hesitate. They would just throwing money on the table.
And, well, you said it doesn't improve your vision, though. What it does is it offers additional, but it doesn't actually fix your vision.
No, it can't.
It's not fixing nearsighted or farsighted, but other vision related issues like macular degeneration.
Yeah,
it can compensate for things like that.
Yeah, it says further down the article, it can help people who have low vision conditions like macular degeneration, glaucoma, retinitis, pigmentosa, things like that.
Well, BBC had a program on last night about a fix for glaucoma already. They basically put a hole in your eye, and they put a little cap on it with a magnet in it, and they can manipulate it and release the pressure in your eye.
I thought you could say they put coal in it. There's a little bloke there with a steam engine.
Well, apparently what they used to do, you go to a hospital every couple of months, they stab you in the eye, but unfortunately the scar tissue builds up and you have to re-hole it again.
but unfortunately, stab you in the eye.
But apparently they've got a new... It literally is that. They literally put a pin in your eye. They have to hold you down. There was a woman on TV. It was on Horizon. Not Horizon. God help me, I'm a doctor or something. I don't know what it was called.
Isn't this how we get to Metropolis?
But they've got this new thing now, and they embed this like magnet in your eye, and it keeps the stops the scar tissue building.
Oh, that's
up.
Like Iron Man.
And then they can twist it to open it's it to totally release like it, and they can twist it back closed again. And all they got to do is touch a magnet to your eye.
And all you need to do is you have some asshole friend with a rare earth magnet that keeps walking up and shifting. You're looking one way and all of a sudden you're looking the other way.
Oh, you can just imagine with that. It's just like your missus catches you looking at some girl's butt and she's got a magnet and just pulls your eye back round.
Well, it might be.
I think I'd put a strong magnet in my back pocket.
Why? So you're always staring up?
Walking around Stephen Hawking all the time.
Just for everyone else.
shut up, Muller. I've got to edit now. 43 minutes. I was going to be serious earlier on, but projection directly on the retina and it being able, that's been done before, hasn't it? Things being projected into the eye and you can actually make out stuff that's projected direct to the retina. It works. So, you know, that's nothing new in terms of technology, but making it so that it's so small it can fit in your eye and do that is pretty special.
That just beam it into your brain.
This is a different delivery method, basically.
Right. Yeah, currently, to do what's being done here, you wear glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, so, you know, the augmented reality bit of the D-Space stuff, you know, from Damon and that kind of stuff is getting closer and closer, and I think it's a real positive.
I agree.
Yeah. I think it's great. Good story, mate. Another good story. Little shorter, which is nice. Good story.
just doing my part.
You did your bit there, mate. You did your bit there. Atlee, is this? No, that's not yours. Where's Atlee's?
Atlee's is at 27.
Oh, he's blocked right back at the bloody start when it is.
Because he cheated. That's my story.
Cheater. Right. Okay. Microsoft is carbon negative, not neutral.
Yeah.
Right. 2030.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. The idea is to reduce their carbon footprint so much that they actually go carbon negative within the next 10 years.
And by 2050, have removed all of their carbon impact on the planet.
Yep. And hopefully they can offer some sort of a path forward for other technology companies, other companies that have similar structures to theirs. To hopefully help bring them to sort of fall in line, because we need a lot of companies to do this, and I think it's about time that companies start taking some of the brunt of trying to change what's going on the planet. Considering that, for by and large, companies are the ones that have done most of the damage to the planet.
I read a thing. I'm sure I read a thing the other day that actually carbon's not the major issue; it's methane.
We're in trouble then.
The major issue...
Methane is definitely a big issue.
The biggest threat to the planet is methane more than carbon.
Yeah, well, isn't Japan or China going to tap their seabeds or something? I've read somewhere, or Russia, and they've got loads of... It's just under this sand, and it bubbles up occasionally. And they're going to tap it and use it.
Yeah, because the problem that you've got with... is the fact that to get more energy, we've got to frack, or to get more energy because of the fact we're melting the polar ice caps, we're then going to release loads more natural resources that are currently capped and protected by that. And unfortunately, China and Russia are and America are not morally controlled enough to not go in and start releasing it all. And once they start releasing it all, there's going to be tons and tons and tons of it getting into the atmosphere, and then we're proper screwed.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many bad things happening. It's actually nice to see that at least one company is trying to do what they can to reverse what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point from Bob Beach here saying he watched the BBC News today, and there was experts on, and they were basically calling BS on it. And I've got to say, I find it incredibly ambitious that it's even possible, let alone the fact of the timescales.
Is there a scenario here where, I mean, we're talking 50 years. Oh, no, they're talking 20. They're talking 10 years.
10 years, they're going to be carbon negative.
10 years, they're going to be carbon negative.
30 years, they'll have replaced the whole of their lifetime. So go back to 1984, 83, 81.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they can plant trees, put some solar dip panels on there.
Yeah, but that's my point, is planting trees doesn't reverse anything.
It soaks it up.
And that's the thing that I'm curious about, is I'm curious to see what steps, like, I'd like to see a more detailed outline of what they're doing in order to accomplish this, to find out, like, how much of this is, for appearance sake, it will be carbon negative, but is it actually, like you said, planting trees does not reverse your carbon footprint. It helps the planet, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't reverse your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
If you take down 1,000 trees and you chop them up and you make pulp out of them, I mean, planting 1,000 trees does not reverse that, because on top of all that, there's the all the energy and the carbon and all of the pollution that was used by the vehicles to chop them down and to transport them, and then the use of them and the burning of the byproduct. And, like, I mean, there's a number of things. You'd have to chopping down 1,000 trees, you'd have to plant, like, a million in order to reverse the effect of that 1,000 trees.
But we've done this with you know, Musk says we're going to go to Mars, and he gets an artist to draw a picture of a big silver space rocket that looks like it out of Flash Gordon, and we'll go, ooh. And then I go, hang on. Musk has got very little more idea about how to actually physically go to Mars than the bloke who drew the picture.
And that's the point.
If they're really doing this for the planet, release the plans. Tell us all exactly what the plan is, so every other company on the planet can follow you. Absolutely. You're not a market leader. You're getting no financial benefit.
Once we see it works, let's all start together. follow your plan, and let's see what happens.
Like, if we'll lead you there.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of this, and I like the concept of this, and I think more companies need to do this.
You can't not.
But let's see. No, but let's see, like, actually do it, not, like, make an announcement saying this is what we're going to do.
But Amazon have recently done the same thing. Is it 2040 they've said that they'll be carbon neutral?
No, carbon
Carbon negative.
Carbon negative. I'm sure it was 2040. So the pipped, I'm positive, we read an article a few weeks ago on this. So they've pipped Amazon by 10 years.
If we are taking environmental management and using it as a marketing tool like that to pip the next population of business people, then we've got really huge problems.
I'm going to have a look. I've had that.
What's our principled approach? We are grounding in science and maths. We will continually ground our work in the best available science and most accurate math as we describe further below. That's just not... Aims and objectives, fair enough, but there's a lot of empty spaces here.
No, I mean... That's the thing. I mean, I don't know what is true, like whether it's a marketing thing or not. But I mean, you can take the cynical like viewpoint and say, okay, this is just a marketing thing. They're going to say that now and maybe do like one or two steps and then like everybody forgets about it and nobody does anything. Or you can take it as like a company mission, a company vision. I mean, they're saying it's a moonshot. I don't like Microsoft, to be honest. Like, I'm not a fan, so. Like, but they're saying it's a mission. They don't even know how they're going to achieve it. They're just saying that this is something we want to do. We think it's important.
It's a goal.
It's a goal. We're going to try our best to do it. And like, let's see what we can do. And I think that's good. And if every company does it, then the marketing value is zero because then like everybody's doing it.
There was a similar story on this, back Barcelona, on about the we cannot keep up with continual growth. This is probably more Bob Beach's area. So at the moment, our capitalist way of life is predicated on increased growth and more consumption. And this is slowly going to have to get worse and worse until we can't actually sustain it any longer. And there's going to have to be a change in the way we behave and the kind of government and social and economic structure we use. I can't find the story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how convenient.
Well, I did basically hear it, and I've been looking for the story, but I keep getting Barcelona football team up all the time, and that was getting a bit...
Yeah, I've just put a link in. I put the wrong link in first time. This story was 19th of September last year. And this is Amazon's climate pledge commits to being net zero carbon emissions by 2040 and 100% renewables by 2030.
Yeah, you see, Magic Man's put in the chat room about the fact that JFK was the same when he launched the moon plan, but I don't think he was because we'd actually shoved the man up at that point, hadn't we? We'd at least got people into space. We understood what was out there. We understood rocket propulsion.
To that point then? I've been in the Microsoft campus. I don't know if any of you have, but there are in a lot of the buildings, a lot of the office buildings, they have solar panels across the roof. They are using sustainable ways to grow all the vegetables that they feed in the cafeterias. They've been doing a number of things for a long time, for the last 20 years, to try and increase their sustainability and increase their lower their impact on the planet. So they're not completely going from, we're just doing nothing now and we're going to go to, you know.
Yeah, no, hang on. Stop what you're saying there. Stop what you're saying there, Atlee, because you're talking about the fact that they have worked out how to be less of an impact, but they haven't worked out how to reverse the impact, which is what their goal is. Mm-hmm. They're still delivering computers in lorries. And probably delivering far more computers in lorries than they ever were. So it's electric, I'm sorry, lorries. that's not the same thing.
No, but what you're saying is
reducing is not the same as reversing.
You were saying that they had already shot men into space when JFK said that they were going to put someone on the moon, and shooting someone up into the atmosphere and bringing them down is an awful lot different than putting them on another planet than getting them off that other planet and bringing them back to this one. So what I'm saying is they aren't going completely from zero like you were implying. They are going from a state where they have been working.
They are going from zero because they haven't worked out how to reverse it. They've only worked out how to reduce it. They've got to reverse it. They don't know how to get past the zero point.
And at that point, when JFK made that statement, they didn't know how to reverse the process of getting back off another planet. This planet is what I'm saying. There's still a lot of work to do. I agree that there's a ton of work to do. I'm just saying that I actually see a lot more similarity between his Magic Man's statement than what you're allowing. That's all.
And I mean, Ewan, even if we haven't figured out how to reverse it yet, isn't it still worth doing something and trying to get at least?
That's not what I'm saying either. That's not what I'm saying either. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying I'm saying that the JFK thing there, we'd at least got to the point of propelling a man from the planet. In this, we haven't worked out how to make something and have a positive impact on the planet. At all. We've only worked out how to reduce our impact on it. We haven't worked out how to make something and add to the planet. At least we got a man into orbit before he said that. There is a direct parallel with what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying.
Just we don't.
We're a feisty bunch tonight.
We are. But that's because Atlee keeps interrupting. Who's got the last story? Muller, have you got a story or did Atlee take yours?
Yeah, I've got one. It's my backup story.
Wise move.
Yeah, this one might cause a few problems. Facial recognition, EU considers ban of up to 5 years. So the EU Commission, which obviously we're not going to be part of very soon.
So you can't open your phone for the next 5 years.
I don't think it's that kind of facial recognition, to be fair. About privacy, really, yet again, the old privacy thing. It's probably blooming Germany again who'll get it all feisty about privacy. We know what the Germans are like, eh? No bite?
No bite. He's in Austria now, so.
They're basically saying, oh, we're going to stop for a while. I think they got very concerned over the UK and King's Cross Station incident where they were using it without letting people know or giving anyone permission. So that's basically it. So it's a temporary ban across Europe. I don't know how it's going to affect the UK because come the 31st of Jan, we're going to get Big Ben rolling, aren't we? So
what's that?
Big Ben. It's going to go dong or something, isn't it?
I thought that we were buying dongs.
They're probably going to have to get a big speaker in the tower block, aren't they?
And I've got to say, I need to clarify that buying bongs and buying dongs are two entirely different things.
Yeah, one of them's Muller's thing.
Well, there's quite a few dongs and there's a big bong at the end, isn't there? Anyway, we just got off subject again.
I got an issue with facial recognition as a thing to use in the public domain anyway. Yeah, I don't mind my car being, because it's a registered device, number plate recognition, fair enough. Take a picture of me when I'm going places, fair enough. But then, and does my state have the right to do facial recognition? Perhaps, but certainly advertisers, bloody.
It doesn't work that well anyway.
The Minority Report, but it will come. The Minority Report thing of getting your ads tailored to you is, and then they're going to be beamed directly into your eye using that bloody lens
thanks
thing.
Thanks for those contacts.
Yeah. See,
I saw a use case with facial recognition that I thought were absolutely brilliant. So imagine this scenario. So you walk into a really busy pub, you're walking up to the bar, and there's a camera above the bar scanning the faces of people. But behind the bar, there's a little TV telling the bar staff in which order people have walked up to that bar, so who to serve next. So when you get to the front, You know, when you stood at a bar and you've been there ages and you've got your note in your hand, it's like, come on, it's me. I've been stood here 10 minutes. But for some reason, they keep going to other people. It gets rid of that straight away. It says it puts a number over the face. Bar people know exactly who to go to in which order they've arrived. That would be brilliant.
Isn't there a pub somewhere that actually knows what you've ordered in the past as well? So they've already got an idea.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
No.
We talked about this. Yeah. So you woke up and they already, trouble is it wouldn't work in me. Because I changed my you know, whatever's on the pumps. But it would work for quite a few people. Peroni, sir. But should go into the...
Email the band, get it in quick.
Let's go into Witherspoons and just order it on the app.
Yeah.
I don't like those busy pumps anyway. I just think it's... actually, I'm all for a little bit of a ban. I think we knew does anyone think that the technology's gone way beyond where the law is at the moment on this?
Without a doubt.
That's 20 years ago.
Because it seems to me that we haven't discussed the law and how that data is going to be used. Now it's going to be destroyed if not used.
And I think that is the reason for the ban. The temporary ban, 3 to 5 years they're talking about, is because they need to regulate this in some way, and they need time to understand it, to regulate it, and then implement it, and implement it properly. Mm. And I think this is a delay ban rather than a it will not be used ban.
Yeah, well, it says 3 to 5.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah. It's not going to stop big companies from using it, is it?
No. When I looked at it, I can't remember where I read similar article, same subject. And it says it in here as well, exceptions to the ban for security projects as well as research and development. So during that 3 to 5 years, it's going to be in use, but it'll be used under a research and development banner rather than for any specific case and cause.
If you're wondering why everything's gone, all the pictures of the guys are gone, but you can still hear them. The audio comes through a different place, and the Mac Pro has just decided to reboot. So
sweet.
Awesome.
Still got Patrice, though.
I don't know why we've still got Patrice. I don't know where we're getting that from.
Because Patrice is the most important.
He's invaded your Mac Pro.
I don't think so.
And now it's saying I can't reconnect. Oh, bugger. We might have to finish this off with just audio only. No, it's all right. It's coming back. You have to just keep talking. Just keep going like nothing's happened.
That means that my sudden plan to my wardrobe change won't fly. I mean, if we have video.
We'll see.
I'm so sorry, everyone that's watching. It's been a really good show up to this point.
Well,
or something has happened.
Well, you know, technology.
See, I had a meeting with a guy a few months back, and his company actually sold facial recognition cameras, and I was the one that told you that they could go to the bar and they could tell you what you ordered last time.
Right.
And that's not actually that newer technology.
I think one of the technologies they were playing with before I retired wasn't so much recognizing people's faces, but recognizing people's manner. Because people that are about to commit a crime act in a different way than people just about going about their normal business. So if somebody's is having a look around constantly or hiding in corners where they wouldn't normally be and acting sort of sus, it gives you an idea that they may be up to something. And then unfortunately, with the Ripper, that's direct surveillance, so that probably covers that. But you could actually then send maybe an officer to go and speak to them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really enamored with the idea of this being used in a bar so that the bar knows what it is that I normally get. And part of that's because when I go into my local pub, and it's new staff, I have to retrain them all over again on what it is that they're supposed to be giving me. And if they had a system where the people just had something that told them, this is Jeff, he's a regular, he always sits at the bar, not at a table, and this is what he likes to drink.
Like a walk contact in lens.
And even if they've never seen me before, I could come in and they'd be like, Jeff, it's great to see you, and set a pint on the bar just as if we had known each other for years.
You know that this is like Cheers for the 2020s. You know you want to go where everybody recognizes your facial patterns.
Right, yes.
And they know that you're a lush.
No, it's just, it's right. It's just, there's a lot of positives, isn't there? But there's so many negatives go with our technical advancement at the moment. And it is hard to strike a balance of understanding where we sit with you know, giving up freedoms for benefits.
Well, I think
that's just fine when you get married.
Yeah, I used to get a lot of benefits. I don't get any benefits anymore.
You can still see this.
My children put a stop on my benefits.
Yeah, and I lost all my freedom and I lost all my benefits.
Get your benefits elsewhere.
Oh, man. Good story, Muller.
Kept it short.
Is it going to happen? Yeah, it will.
It will happen.
Yeah. Germany will do it, yeah. I think Germany is doing it. But we won't be in the EU, so it won't matter.
It was going to happen to it. I think in places where it'll work is like in sports grounds and public places.
Yeah.
Especially where those kind of places are targeted by people.
Arenas.
Who are nefarious.
After the end of this month, Patrice is going to have to bring a passport to come on this show.
Well, I have one, so it's fine.
Your driving license won't be good enough, mate.
Do I need to be showing my passport to be on the show?
Oh, God, you need a visa as well, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're right. Now I'm going to need a visa.
Yeah, and after 90 minutes, you're going to have to go on another podcast and then come back.
And it's okay because he's taking our prince and princess on. So he gets a free pass.
At least facial recognition is easy.
This podcast and all the others is supported, I have no idea why, by TSO hosts. They are superb. You need to support them because they support us. Just get out on the socials. That's what they want, the brand recognition first and foremost. Get out. Thanks at TSO hosts for supporting at British Tech. Few people have done it this week, not as many as last week. You've got to do this. You have to do this because this is what matters. Us getting our name out there with them, associated to us, and they are kicking back to us beautifully. We've got a blog out on their blogs this week that's me talking about what BTN's about, and there's another one coming up on podcasting that we've done as well, and then there's going to be another one after that on photography that I'm doing for them. So we've got a lot of stuff tying up with them going forwards, and you guys need to give them that recognition. Please, BTN Army, get out there and do that. It's really important. Also, if you want to buy stuff, great. BTN20 gets you 20% off your offerings. And hosting services with them and that kind of stuff is superb. So make sure that you support them because we love them to bits and they really help us, as do at IMN Max. We've had loads of people actually inquiring about stuff. We've had some Mac Minis that have been fixed for a company. We've had a couple of iPads, have had new battery changes, new screen changes, a couple of iPhones. And my landlord today came in and said, I want a Mac Pro for I want an iMac for my business partner. We're going to look at buying one. I'm like, don't buy a brand new one because this guy's a Luddite. Just get him a refurbished one. And I know just the people to give you a refurbished one. And he's got in touch with them and they've got a really good deal at the moment. £600 for a 21-inch iMac. That's right up the right street. If you've got a legacy device, they will repair it for you. So anything that Apple won't touch, these guys will. Cracked iPhone screen, beautiful, cheap repair. And everything that they do has got a 6-month warranty with it as well as. So you're protected. And I know these guys. These are good people that I've known for a while. And they will look after you. They're good, good guys. So anything that you worry about, come see me and I'll go and put them straight. Thanks to the people that support us, because the network doesn't exist without people who do look after us. Please support them. So get on the Twitters again. Thanks at IMNMax for supporting that British Tech. Right. Time for your cool things then, fellas. Shove them in. Camp, start us off, please, mate.
There we go. Oops, hang on. Oh, that's not allowed me to send that. Actually, I work out what's going on here. Apparently, I've got a room restriction and I can't send messages to British Tech. Anyway, I will bob that in as soon as I've worked out why it's not doing that.
That's not me doing that because I don't even know how to do that. I'd be already doing that with Muller if I'd have known.
Don't know why. I'll sort it out and I will add it back in. Spark camera is my pick this week. I don't know if anybody's used Spark camera. So it's available in the iOS store. It is, I think it was free. I'm sure it was free. It is basically, let me see if I can, I don't know if I can show you on the camera. So basically you, the middle of the screen is the button. So it's you want to film a clip. All you do is you touch the button, you hold it for the length of time you want to film, then you let go. You can turn around, you film something else, film again. It puts them all then in clips. So it'll create you one, essentially one reel in clips. There's other apps that do the same sort of thing. But what happens in Spark is you can edit it with various little things. You can do music layover, text layovers coming soon. You can reorder the clips really, really easily, very simply. You can change the speed of the clips in-app. Again, the UI is brilliant on it. It's so easy to use and so quick. I did a little Instagram story during the week, last weekend, and it was my entire day in 15 seconds to put on a story. Little clips, just shorten the various clips in the app. Very, very easy to do. Shuffled a couple around in terms of order I wanted to do. Press post and send it straight into Instagram. Really easy. I'm sure it's free. Really nice little app to use. And like I say, the various filters and bits of editing that you can do in that is so simple to use.
Pro membership is $27.49. Pro membership is $3.99. I'm guessing that's a monthly and a yearly charge.
It is. I'm not paying anything for it. I'm sure I downloaded it for free, and everything I want to do, I've not paid a penny for anything I want to do yet.
Spark Pro lifetime is $54.99. So
yeah, in-app purchases, I'm assuming if you want them, but you don't need them.
Yeah,
not for anything I've used so far.
So it does the simple stuff.
Yes.
And then you just pay for the extra stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
But you can create a video in this, shuffle clips around. You could lob it into Canva. You could lob it into Instagram. You can do anything you want when it's transferred then.
Okay, cool. Like that. Good one. Jeffrey, your cool thing.
All right, my cool thing. I don't remember if I dropped you a link.
Yeah, I've got it. It's
just
cool.
In case. Okay. So the new Star Trek series, Picard, is launching in like a week. And so they've done a 3-issue comic book run as a lead up to the TV series. So these 3 issues cover what happened in Picard's life that set everything up for him to leave Starfleet and go to the Vineyard, you know, like we see in the trailers for the TV series. So on a whim, when I was in my local comic book store the other day, I picked up the first 2 issues because unfortunately the 3rd issue, which was supposed to be out on Wednesday, has been delayed until the 29th. So it's actually not coming out until after the series starts, which to me seems kind of weird, but there you go.
Silly.
But the first 2 issues are nice. They have cool art. It's an interesting story. And it's not a spoiler to say that this is about Picard leading the effort to save the Romulan people before their son goes supernova, which is something that happened at the beginning of that was one of the J.J. Abrams movies. Yeah, where Spock tried to stop it and it didn't happen. And anyhow,
wasn't that the collapse of? Oh no, that was the one with the big massive ship, wasn't it?
They destroyed Vulcan, didn't they?
Yeah. They destroying Vulcan. Was it? Did the one with the red drop that destroyed Vulcan?
Yep, that's it. So this is all the stuff that leads up to that, where Spock ultimately is lost to the other Star Trek timeline.
Yeah. Cool. Good pick. Anyhow. I like me Star Trek. Muller's been watching Discovery and he's realised it's crap, so we did tell you.
I disagree.
It's impressive visuals.
It's lovely visuals. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, so my cool thing is also a show that I think dropped before Christmas, if I remember correctly. It is The Man in the High Castle Season 4, the final... I think it's the final season. At least it felt like
it's the final season.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I really enjoyed it. If you haven't seen The Man in the High Castle, I highly recommend it. It's like an alternate history type of show. There's some science fiction elements to it. Like, it starts out with, like, fairly, I want to say fairly, like as an alternate history. But then there are some science fiction things, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but the ending was really, really, really good. I really enjoyed it, so go watch it. It's on Prime, so if you have Prime, I think it is available worldwide.
The book's a short story, isn't it? So how they've got four seasons out of it, I'm not entirely sure. and I've got to say, I lost interest in the second episode of the first season.
I've not stuck to the book at all. Read the book.
Yeah, the second season was definitely the weakest, and then it picked up again. Like, it almost lost me in the second season too, and it's like stuck around. And like, third season was way better, and getting really interesting. And then the fourth season is like really, really good. So definitely recommend it.
I think Americans take this
seriously. I enjoyed the series.
Okay.
It should have been six programs, that's it, bang, done.
Yeah,
well,
miniseries.
I mean, six programs with like an hour and a half like each, then it's kind of the same thing.
I could have done that, but I mean, just dragging it over four series is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, it's good. It's a good premise. Like, the general premise and like what happens is really good, so like, I'm okay with that.
Cool. Atlee, your cool thing, please.
Did you get my
link? I did. I've got it. You just need to talk.
Okay. So
you're not upset at me, are you? Because I said you kept interrupting. Because you've been really quiet since I said it.
Well, I don't want to interrupt anymore.
Don't expect to come here and not have the piss taken out of you, mate. Oh, blimey.
I was playing the long game. I knew that would get you.
Yeah, righto. I'm really, it's been bothering me for a long time now. Shut up and get on with it, man.
You mentioned it, not me, puss.
And you interrupted him.
Right, Muller, what's your pick?
Get on with it. Today.
Oh, me. I thought
you wanted Muller's. Dude, the show's only an hour and a half long.
What time is that? That's 5:29?
Hour 17.
Anyways, no, this is the Hubitat smart home hub. It's actually a really interesting way of doing it. It's actually built by a bunch of guys that used to work for the Smart Things company. And what they did was they created this hub, and it doesn't need to be connected to the internet to perform any of the actions that you need it to do. And it can... It allows you to actually program it up yourself. So if you have any coding skills, you can actually add all new skills to it. You can use the pre-made ones that they have. So for example, if I open a door, I can have it set to have a sensor when the door opens that the lights come on. And then
is this like an almost local IFTTT?
So because Atlee hasn't got any earphones in, he's relying on his speaker, it means that when you start talking, it doesn't cut his earphones in, so that he carries on talking. So you need to wait till he's finished before you talk, Chris. Sorry. Chris has a question, sir.
Go ahead.
Go on, Chris.
Sorry. So is this almost like a local IFTTT?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. But the nice thing is it creates its own private network in your space. It's not connected to your internet, and you can actually connect it directly to a computer to program it, or you can connect it to your network and access it and then disconnect it later. So if you want to have that security of not having an entry point onto your systems, onto your computers and things like that, that are usually the weakest point is usually the smart home utilities, right? The lights and the things that you hook up. Those are the most hackable things in your house.
Well, forget about the hacking. Can you do a best of both worlds here? Because one of the problems that we had was that last week, Virgin decided to fix the internet by cutting me off while they were doing an upgrade for 10 hours, and I couldn't switch the light on in the hall.
Exactly, and this that would mean that you wouldn't be affected by that at all. With
no, but could you get best of both worlds? So this would do the external conduit and give me the internet connections, but then it would take over if everything went crapped out.
Well, so the interesting thing is you can actually have this connected to the internet and actually use it through Google Now or Alexa or Siri or whatever else.
Right.
And have it connected to the internet and everything else, but it would still perform the functions powered by sensors back and forth. So let's, for example, like I said, for in this scenario where you have a motion sensor that keeps the lights on in an area where you want the lights on, but then when you leave it and it detects that you haven't been there for a while, it turns the lights out so you don't forget to turn your lights off. It will keep doing that even if the internet's down.
So can I just make a point about...
To answer your question, yes.
Can you just explain this? So, right, if America wants to buy it, it's $74.95. If Canada wants to buy it, it's $74.95. If UK wants to buy it, it's $115, and you can expect a £30 import duty on top of that.
That's our special agreement.
You thief! That's the that you and you want to be our best after everything we did for you in the war.
And we gave him a princess.
And we've given you a princess and a prince and a little baby princess as well.
Habitat's not Canadian.
But I'm talking about North America. Full stop. You're all in it together now.
Atlee can buy it. He can send it to you.
You can share the hate.
Send it in a brown paper bag.
Unbelievable.
I'll send it back when Harry makes one of his trips for the Queen's birthday.
I don't want it now. 10 hours sitting in the dark. It was fine. I can cope. Yeah,
Harry could bring it over for you in his own.
When she divorces him.
And then he could post it to you from
Bob. Oh, I tell you what we need to do. Here we go, boys. We need, because Nam's on at the moment, and my mate Steve Lawson is playing on one of the stands. I need to tell him to buy one of these and bring it back with him.
Oh, there you go.
And I bet you when I plug it in, it won't work. Because it go, oh no, it's geolocated locked.
It's not geolocated locked. Like I said, it doesn't need to be connected to the internet ever. You only need to connect to the internet to do an update if you want to update the software.
I wouldn't mind, but they've repeated the description of what it does. Oh no, it's all right. Hang on. So it's got a US frequency versus a EU frequency and then the UK Z wave frequency. Yeah, they're different frequencies. Oh, bugger. Yeah.
That's probably why.
No, that's upset me because there's a reason it's more expensive and I don't like it because I feel bad now.
Well, I still don't think that's a valid reason.
Bob Beach is correcting us. Apparently we gave you a duchess and a duke. And apparently Archie hasn't got a title yet.
I wonder if they're going to send the wax figures over with them.
Oh well. Muller, I love yours. I've already ordered yours.
I know.
Muller walked in this afternoon. He said, look what I've got. I'm like, where's the link? Why haven't you sent me the link? You still haven't sent me the link, mate.
I have. Sent
it. No, but I'm saying I hadn't finished looking at it, and I told him he hadn't sent me the link. Why was he screwing around talking to me? Why isn't he sending me the link?
I've sent you the link. Can you put it up?
Yeah, it's £21.24, and before you get to the end of Muller describing it, you'll all be £21.24 out of pocket, unless you haven't got Prime.
So this will charge your iPhone or Android phone wirelessly, and it's a battery pack. And you could charge it.
It's the same size as a phone.
Yeah,
same kind of dimension as a phone.
It's almost the same size as the XR.
10R.
10R.
Style.
I don't care. It's what I would. And you can charge it with there, and it's USB-C, Lightning, and Mini.
You can charge it off USB-C?
Yeah, and Mini.
I didn't know that when I bought it. Now I'm even more happy.
So you got USB-C, Lightning, so you can charge off Lightning as well, and off Mini USB-C. You can charge your phone with the Lightning connector if you want to, or if you've got an Android phone with the Mini there. It's also got a normal out USB-C, and a normal out USB-C.
So you could power your laptop off it for about 20 seconds?
It's about a third of the size of a laptop battery, isn't it? 10,000 milliamps. I don't know. Anyway.
And it's got a digital readout of how charged up it is.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you can see it on there.
99, yeah.
And it charges, and it says it's charging and gives you up there. Got a little guide, look. And it's so cool.
What's it called, Ewan? Because I can't get anything from the chat at the minute.
It's called the PondSync Portable Phone Charger, Qi Wireless Portable Charger, Glass Panel, 10,000 milliamp, that's pretty good actually, milliamp hour battery bank, high speed charging, in £21, 24 pence. If you're all wondering how we get this, don't be a lazy bastard. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can find all of these links. And this is the only link I would ever endorse that Muller's put in the chat room that I would endorse that you click. There we go.
Not available in Canada.
Or the United States.
Oh, revenge is sweet.
Don't worry. If you ask us nicely, we'll put one in the post.
Yeah, we'll send one over. We'll send one over with Megan.
Oh, actually, they're the batteries. You can't, can you? Because you get into trouble.
Oh, I'm sure she's got somewhere she can hide them.
It's lithium.
Just throw it in your carry-on.
Remind me afterwards to tell you a joke. Just say you and tell us that royal joke, because I can't say the royal joke while I'm recording because. It's not really good. I'm going to screw up getting a knighthood, that's for sure.
PondSync, none of PondSync's properties or products are available in Canada or the US.
Try the Gucci, the GNCEEI, that's similar.
It's really funny. If you put it in the American one, Amazon goes, did you mean Pontiac?
Americans probably did.
Anyway, I've had it for nearly a week now, and it's brilliant.
Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Camp? Stop buying the damn items in the camps, and where can we get a hold of you?
Just out of it. You can get me at Camping UK on Twitter, you can get me in the Slack room, all my running stuff is on Instagram, and that is Just Run Chris.
The Crikey Crows is calling someone a doddery old bastard. Bob Beach has put something about not being breastfed. I have no idea. And Batwench has bought two of those already.
They are cool.
They are cool. Jeffrey,
see, that's why we can't get them in the United States.
Yeah, but you can get similar.
Everyone's buying them up in the UK.
No, you can get them. I love it. I just adore it. I want it to arrive tomorrow already. Jeffrey, where are you?
I am at textexpander.com. Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram, the Mac Show, the Big Show, and other podcasts too.
Excellent,
because I get around.
And a lover of the Feisty Friday fun.
Yes, absolutely.
And don't forget your webinars and the offer code BTN2020.
That's right. Advanced and beginner Text Expander webinars next week. So that's Wednesday and Thursday.
Excellent. And they're free.
They're free.
Patrice, where would you be apart from sitting shivering in the cold? On a beanbag?
Cold? I'm fine. Yeah, every week here on the Meg Show and the Big Show. And yeah, everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And Atlee, it's your turn to talk.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
You can reach me at
Atlee.
Online at Twitter or Instagram, and you can see me here.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Someone's going to send me a video of me interrupting you throughout the whole show now just to tell that I'm the arsehole, not you.
Yeah.
Put it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Hate, bring the hate mail. I love the hate mail. Muller, where would you be?
Here at the moment. Muller Biker on Twitter and in the Slack room having a go at Crikey Crazers.
Excellent. We love it to a certain degree. my name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week we won't be back as normal next week. We're on Thursday next week. Okay? So I'm out on the Friday night. A friend of mine is picking up a gong, an award at a thing, so I'm going to go and watch her get that. So
is that similar to a bong?
No, it's a gong.
Gong,
bong, dong, all entirely different. I promise you. I'll do an infographic on it, but I won't be able to publish it anywhere. She's picking up a gong, so good luck to Hannah, and I'll be there on that. So Thursday night for the big show, and we're going to do the photo show as well. We've done that, and we've got a competition. This is brilliant. Should have listened till the end, you see. You've ducked out early. This is a Spider 10. This is the best screen calibrator I've ever used in my entire working life, and I've used plenty of them, I can promise you. And this is absolutely stunning. I love it to bits. Mine, I get to keep. So you're not getting this one. What you are getting is two brand new ones that are available to listeners who follow the photo show on the BTN channel, like and subscribe. And at the end of that, when I find out all the subscribers and all the likers we've got on the BTN channel, I will read out two winners who will get one each of these Spider 10. Okay. Well worth having. 150 odd quid's worth. Thanks to Datacolor and to Datacolor and Digital Glue who've organised that for us. Superb.
Is that the Incy Wincy edition?
The Incy Wincy Spider 10. It's actually smaller than the other one, yes. There you go. Right, back again next week on Thursday. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.